Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
To another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and my co-host, Dr. Matt Polacek, is spending quality time with his family, but not to worry, he will be back with us next week. Now, for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, I want to take this time to thank you so much, and please continue to spread the word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to things that can make us happier, healthier, and more successful in our constantly changing future. Now, Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and so much more. We will introduce you to talented authors and new innovations in the areas of health, security, and fun for you and your family. Now, with over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of these helping fields. Now, I'm really happy to bring on, as far as our guests today, we have Kara Bradley. Kara is the author of a dynamic new book called On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. And Kara is passionate. She's a passionate teacher of yoga, meditation, and fitness, who has been in the trenches of personal transformation as a mental strength coach for over three decades at her Verge Yoga Center, numerous retreats, corporate training sessions, and with sports teams such as Villanova University football and Penn State men's basketball. Now, if you're on your computer or you're on your smartphone and you're a visual learner and you'd like to follow along with us, open up a new window and go to karabradley.net. And as an added bonus, when you get there, Kara will provide you with her five easy strategies to seize the day every day. Kara, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for that beautiful introduction as well. Great to be here.
Well, I just really want to thank you for putting out a book like this, because I really felt that you walked people through, you allowed people to understand what you were talking about and then see where it fits for them. And that was one of the things that I just thought really, resonated with me. And I think it probably resonates with a lot of other people out there.
Well, thank you. I've been teaching for so long. I feel like I've come across just about every type of human being on this planet. And I never want to insult anybody's intelligence. And so I am definitely incredibly careful with providing easy access practices and strategies, but also with the understanding that we're intelligent human beings. And so it's a fine balance, to inspire and empower without belittling anybody out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I've got that feeling. And it's you don't feel like you're being dictated to. You're really being brought into something and then shown something and saying, so where's this fit for you? So again, thank you. Now, many people out there that listen know that I do a lot of my reading at the gym while I'm pedaling. And I got a question over the weekend where someone, and oftentimes they can see the backside of the book, and they said, what's the Verge? So my question to you is, for the listeners out there, explain what the Verge is and how does one live on it?
That's a great question. The Verge is really a metaphor that I came up with a few years ago, and I'll just give a little backstory on it. When I was 19, I had an experience as a college track runner where I was running in my last race. I knew it was my last race because I was transferring schools, And I had been a pretty mediocre runner up until that point. And I had this experience that day because I went into my race with nothing to gain, nothing to lose, and just a really open attitude where I killed my last race. I became an elite runner in a matter of 2 minutes and change. And from that day forward, I wanted to know what happened to me on that day, on that track, during that race. And it sent me off on my journey. And so I tell this story because from that day forward, I became what I call a human potential junkie. I really, really wanted to know what makes us shine and thrive, and how do we do it on purpose, not just by accident, because that was an accidental race that I had, that fantastic race. And so it sent me on a quest and on this curious journey to the great world religions and to bungee jumping and to walking on coals with Tony Robbins and to meditation and yoga and lots of other stuff in between. And so years later, my husband spent a few weeks down in the Amazon with an indigenous community. Mm-hmm. And when he came home, he told me about this place where they would often stop on the river. It was where tributaries met on this little spot of land, this juncture of land, where the indigenous communities felt this area was sacred. It's because life thrives there, he said. Ecosystems, wildlife, plant life are all at their most diverse on this one spot of land where rivers meet. Well, that place is called the Verge. And as soon as he told me, my eyes lit up. I said, wait a second. You mean there's a place I could go where I can meet my potential? There's a place I could stand on where I thrive? I want to know what it feels like. And so is there a verge near me? Can I go and be there? You know? And so this set me on another journey. What is the verge? Where do we thrive? And so after more years of inquiry and more years of practice, I recognized that this moment is the verge. Mm-hmm. When I can show up in this present moment, I shine, I thrive. Everything I do better when I'm right here, right now. And so what that means, that's what I write about. That's what living on the verge is to discover and experience what it's like to be fully awake and alive in this moment. That's where we shine.
I love that. And I know that we're in a time to where many of us are sort of going on our own journey. We're going in and we're trying to figure out why we're here or what our calling is. And lots of us do this. Not so many of us decide to then write a book about it. So why did you feel compelled at that point to share it with everybody?
Great question. I've been teaching for a long time, since I was 15, actually. And I've always thread in throughout whatever I was teaching, a lot of types of fitness and yoga now, meditation, but I've always continued to thread the message that we are already the best version of ourselves. I see it day in and day out. I see people come to a yoga mat or a meditation class or whatever it is they're doing, and I see people light up when they start to settle down. And so I just wanted to tell the world in as broad a sense as I could that we are already awake and alive. We are already the best version of ourselves. It's a matter of really letting go of the busy mind and the drama and all of the constructs that we get ourselves and the prisons that we get ourselves stuck in every day, in our doubt and in our fear. And if we can start to whittle away and settle down and steady ourselves enough, and this is where mindfulness and meditation come in, mm-hmm. we can start to experience the wholeness and the fullness of who we already are. And I think that's why I finally just had to sit down and write the book, because so often I just want to say to people, I see you as whole. I see you as bright, as brilliant, as whole, as intelligent, but I also see that you don't see yourself like that. And if I can help you see yourself in a different perspective, then I'll rest my head on my pillow, you know, and sleep well every night.
Oh, that's beautiful. And so, yes, and I think as I was going through the book and I thought, yes, I do get that feeling. And there's a group that I meet with and we talk about I see you. And yes, I felt like this book is saying I see you. I see you. And here are some suggestions. Now, I notice in the very beginning of the book, you focus on that first part, which is wake up and show up. So share a little bit about what the difference is between waking up and really showing up.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is, you know, this is when I get really excited because it's right at our fingertips. Waking up beyond your busy mind. We are filled with information. I call busy mind just what we're walking around with all day. The lists, the to-dos, the plans, the memories, all of that stuff that just, it hides us from the brightness that is around us all the time. And so when we can wake up and recognize that we are not our thoughts, that we are not every single emotion that we feel, they're part of who we are, but they're not all of who we are. And so waking up is really to recognize this moment beyond the veil of thoughts and emotions. And oftentimes that means dropping into your body, is just tuning into your breath. Is just showing up and smelling your coffee, right? Is hugging your child and pausing to really hug. And we can tune into our senses, right? Is seeing the clouds in the sky. Is noticing the sounds of the birds. That's how we wake up to what's happening right now. And that's a practice, and we can all do it right now in this next moment. And showing up is then arriving and being available for whatever's happening. So what I talk about isn't about just making life, you know, peaceful and blissful and bows and ribbons, because we all know that's just not what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But showing up means really stepping into whatever is happening, because that is what our lives are about right now, whether it be a traffic jam, a screaming child, a coworker who is annoying us, or the sunset. Or the smell of the pasta, you know, the tomato sauce, or whatever is arising in this moment. When we show up to greet it and meet it and embrace it, we will feel more awake and alive, and we will also do better. We will just know how to be our best selves in this moment. So that's wake up and show up.
You know, I was speaking with a gentleman recently in regards to mindfulness, and I was talking to him about, he was talking on a lot of political stuff, and I was talking to him about my getting up in the morning and walking the dogs in the little wilderness park that we have near us that we call the Butterfly Park. And as I was explaining it to him, I got a very strange response, and it was, well, guess what's going to happen while all of you are out there getting into your whole mindfulness thing? You know, if we don't pay attention to this other thing, they're going to enslave us. What do you tell somebody that gives you an answer like that?
Oh, boy. Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot. You know, our natural state, and this is what I talk about in the middle of the book, our natural, most ordinary state of being is that of being open and clear and alert and compassionate. And so what happens on the other side of all of our mental patterns, and obviously this gentleman had some mental patterns that he was kind of just ingrained in, right? Mm-hmm. And our righteousness and our emotional grips. And those are all just constructs that we've developed and we've also inherited over the years. On the other side of all that is a very awake, alert, compassionate, available being that is able to relate to and connect with others, and is also able to see fair, unfair, right, wrong, mm-hmm. appropriate, not appropriate. And so my response, you know, I can't say exactly what my response would have been, but I think that when I do meet with people that are, say, closed off or righteous or throwing their opinions and kind of wearing their busy mind on their sleeve, so to speak, is to just greet it and meet it with openness and availability. Because you know what happens is we all know how kind of disrobed we become when we meet somebody who is fully present. Mm-hmm. Our power is our presence. When I meet you in the moment without my preconceived judgments about who you may or may not be, I know that I am more powerful because I can meet you in humanity in the most powerful place that we can exist is in our present humanity. And I know if I could just meet you there, I may not agree with you, mm-hmm. but at some level I will connect with the goodness that is within you, because there is goodness somewhere woven throughout all of us. Although in many it is, as we all know, it's hidden, it's stuck, but it's there, mm-hmm. I believe.
No, and I agree, and I like that answer because I wanted to converse with him. I just didn't want to go where he wanted to go right at that moment. In other words, to me, you know, there is a time in which, you know, if I want to have a political conversation or something, then there's usually a time for it. If I'm walking in the park and I'm focusing on my own gratitude, it's not the time. And yet I felt as though, you know, I'm being judged by the fact that, you know, that I'm choosing this right now. It doesn't mean that I don't care about what it is that you're trying to put upon me right now, but I'm just choosing this now. We can have that conversation another time. So, and I like what you're saying is that, you know, it's, you know, there is something good, and it does mean that they're passionate and stuff. And so, you know, I didn't want to judge him at that time either, but at the same time, you know, we all want to be able to take the time to get into what it is that's making us feel better at that moment.
Absolutely. And our practices create our stable base. They create the ground from which we can fully express ourselves authentically, genuinely, be there for other people, create and contribute to the world. And so for anyone really, you know, and I've been in this business for a long time, and it's easy, you know, for people to say, oh, that's so nice that you meditate. That's great for you. I could never do that. You know, I've got to run a business or something. Our practices give us stable ground from which we can change the world and we can move mountains. So,
Well, and again, going back to the book, and in your book, you talk a little bit about that, you know, the high definition, the high voltage living. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what that means to you.
Yes. So it all comes back to this natural state of being that every single one of us, every one of you listening out there, we all have several times a day, if not many, moments when we're just present. And it could be just a moment when you're listening to your favorite song on the radio or just kind of humming along and just feel good in the moment, right? Just life mm-hmm. is all is well. I love that saying, all is well for right now. I'm sitting here jamming to my favorite song. And this happens to us throughout the day, whether it be, like I said, that moment when you're smelling dinner cooking or the moment when you're hugging your child. And so when we can start to recognize that there are these moments happening all the time, we start to trust them, that this kind of feels like really like me. I feel good when I'm just embracing what is in the moment. And so if we think about our pets for a moment, I know this is like really in some ways bringing it to a very simple level, but I know it helps me. When you think about your dog or your cat, right? Our dogs and our cats are just, they're present. They hear the can opener start opening up the food, right? And they respond, or they just take a nap when they're tired, and they get excited when you come home. And they're just right there in the moment. This natural state of our being is very similar to that. We're just responding to what's happening right now. And what happens when that, when we are just in the center of the moment, is that our senses light up. We smell, we see, we taste, we feel, we touch what we touch. Everything becomes more vivid. You know, it's that sense of everything being in high definition. And so that's what happens to us when we are simply in the moment, not caught up in thoughts, not caught up in drama, but right here. As things come on, our senses come online, and the world lights up for us. And so that's the high definition aspect. The high volt.
I was great with that, but keep going. I was actually, as you were going, I'm going, okay, I'm getting into that moment.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. The high voltage part of it, and this is, this for me is, gets me really excited, is because when we're present, it's like being plugged into an outlet on your wall. When you're present, it's like being plugged into a transformer where you are fueled with energy. So think about it. Whatever it is you're doing, you're chopping carrots, but you're really chopping carrots. You know, say you're sweeping the floor, or you're raking leaves, or you're folding laundry, or you're on the beach, or you're running, or you're at your spin class. Whatever it is, when you're right there doing it, you feel charged up with energy. And this is this high voltage energy, high definition, high voltage energy. And it can happen painting your bathroom. I painted my bathroom the other day. I was so excited. I was really into it. And I had a great few hours just painting my bathroom. It was like a meditation practice. And I felt charged up from that simple task. So whatever it is that we do when we're present doing it, even it could even be at work, you know, solving a problem, serving a client, we can feel reignited by just being present. And so this is what I mean, to be on the verge, to be in this moment, right? It's where we shine. We get lit from within, as the Buddha said. We are lit from within when we are present. And this is this high definition, high voltage little scenario that I paint.
Well, I absolutely love it. And it's one of the things that I have said many times when people ask me about what it is that I do. And I say, I have been blessed with the opportunity to have multiple professions that allows me to make a difference in other people's lives. And if I can stay in that moment with them, it just doesn't get any better. So, yes, I think that for all of us, if we can get into that moment, if we can understand how valuable that is, it's great. I'm looking at the time. We're going to have to take a break. For everybody out there, stay with us. We're talking with Kara Bradley. The book is called On the Verge, Wake Up, Show Up, and Shine. Be with us when we come back. We're going to talk about how to tap your personal power and thrive. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And we're back. You're listening to the Answers for the Family radio show. And with us is Kara Bradley. Her new book is On the Verge. And Kara, share with us a little bit about some of the Verge practices. You know, I know that I think there was at least five that were the key Verge practices that can help all of us.
Yeah, I'd love to. So the practices are very simple. And as I said before, I want to provide really simple, easy to do ways for people to recognize their brilliance. The brilliance that's already within you. The brilliance that's just on the other side of busyness and drama. In this next breath, we can find it. And so some of the practices are, all of the practices are ways to cultivate that, which means to make it stronger, to nurture this idea of being awake and fully alive on purpose in your life. So what the first practice is called Notice This Moment. And Notice This Moment is actually a collection of practices that are basic mindfulness practices. Noticing when you're distracted, noticing when you're present. Some of the simple practices underneath the Notice This Moment umbrella, so to speak, is could be sky gazing. When you take a few moments to just look up at the sky and just notice its vastness, even if it's for a minute, it changes your state. It can change your state just like that. Wow, look at the clouds, or the lack of sun, or the fast-moving clouds, or the rain. Whatever it is, it's a pause from your normal default state of thinking, to just a pause of being. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. The second level of practice is called Move My Body. And this is a great one because most of us become present when we're moving our body. It could be a walk, a hike, a swim. Maybe it's running or rowing, yoga. It could even be knitting. Anything that's done rhythmically, or whether it be a competitive sport as well. I mean, that goes without saying you're present when you're usually in competition. But even if it's a walk around the block after dinner, it can help you to settle and steady yourself so that you can experience your aliveness more fully. The third one is Meet My Mind, and this is more formal meditation training. Meditation simply meaning becoming familiar with how your mind operates. You know, I often tell people we spend a lot of time and a lot of money getting to know how our iPhones work and our computers work and our car, but we spend zero to little time getting to know how our mind works. And that's what meditation allows us to do, is to sit down and to start to look at how our repetitive thinking, how often we are thinking about the past or the future, and then also how to experience just the present moment. And then another practice is notes to self. And this is a way of becoming familiar with how we speak to ourselves. What type of dialogue am I using for myself all the time? How can I remind myself in a more positive way? What are my intentions? And this isn't like a mantra type of practice or even like positive affirmations. This is very, very practical. Like, where am I right now? Where can I meet this moment instead of resist it? Can I be kind to myself at this moment? So there are some of the suggestions that I make.
You know, one of, Wait, one of the things that I also liked in regards to the book was you broke things down from the standpoint of, you know, you would have like a primer practice of a practice, but then you'd also have a gut check. You know, I think that's great for us to kind of look inward, take time, take a gut check. Where are you at this stage? I think that's great. And it helps us kind of move through different parts of the book. Share with us some of the strategies, you know, that if we get to that point where we're doing some of the meditation, we're starting to get it, but how do we stay in sync? You know, I think with a lot of people I'm talking with, and I'll say, you know, well, what's going on with you? They go, oh, yeah, I'm just out of sync right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. So how do we stay in sync?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So I'm gonna just define a little bit about what I mean by strategies, because practices are things that we can do to get better at what we're trying to do, like notice this moment and be alive. And so it's a way of strengthening our capacity to show up in the moment. The strategy is kind of like riding a bike. You know, when we first learn to ride a bike, we go a little bit all the way over to the right until the training wheels caught us, and then we learn to lean a little left. But after a while, we don't need the training wheels, and we can maneuver on the bike, but we're never completely balanced. We're always sort of a little off left, a little off right, but we just know instinctively what we need to do. And that's what these strategies are. They're a way to just kind of instinctively know when you're a little bit out of sorts, not present, being pulled into drama. And so in sync is that perfect way. I love the way, you know, it sounds, because I think we can all connect with that. It's like, oh, I'm just not feeling really in sync today. It's like we just know, right? It's like a felt sense. We know when we're out of sorts. And so I offer some simple ways to help us maneuver our way back into sync, so to speak. So if you're feeling like you're having an out of sync moment, or maybe just a, you know, you're out of sync all day, well, there are a few things you can do. One is to find silence. It's amazing what 5 minutes of silence can do for us. And that's, you know, close the office door, shut down the phone, turn off the computer. Take 5 minutes and just be completely quiet. And that's it. And it can change your state. It could just help you rebalance yourself. Stillness can do the same thing. Rhythm, beautiful rhythm, can help us to rebalance ourselves. It could be a walk in rhythm. It could be some simple movement. It could be breathing, just focusing on your breathing in a rhythm. Or even sometimes listening to music that has a very steady rhythm. I like this binaural music. Mm-hmm. You can find it online, right? And it helps to shift us at a very deep level. And so that's one of the strategies, just to help us kind of shift our way back into this settled, clear, open, natural state that's available to all of us all the time.
Yeah, and I use some of that music too at night when I'm having trouble turning everything off. You know, I'm trying to turn off all the different things and try and get to that place of silence, but sometimes my brain doesn't accommodate me. So, are there some other tools or tricks or something? And so, for instance, you know, what would be some of your daily practices and daily strategies that when you get a little too many things going on that allows you to sort of shut them off one at a time?
Yeah, that's such a great question. One of my all-time favorite strategies is called Be Kind. And it's something that I did not take too easily. I'm going to tell you all right now. I'm a typical type A overachiever. And Be Kind meant to, you know, not do in my book, you know, years ago. But what I recognize now from a lot of practice and recognizing how impatient I was with myself and how cruel I was to myself, really, is that offering myself kindness throughout the day when I felt especially busy or stressed or overwhelmed was a game changer, and still is a game changer for me. So one of the simplest things we can do out there with your listening is just put your hand on your heart. That simple gesture of just putting your hand on your heart and recognizing, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and we try to get a lot done in a short amount of time. We're bombarded with information out there, news, and technology that's never ending. And so to just put your hand on your heart, and you can even take it the next step, and that is to say, there, there, like you would to your small child, there, there, sweetheart, it's okay. There, there. Mm-hmm. So take a deep breath. It's okay. You know, you're doing great. Just take a deep breath. And to me, at first, you know, I'm a Brooklyn girl. You know, I'm a tough nut to crack. And so for me, when I first came to this practice, I'm like, oh, no way, I'm not doing that. And so if you feel that way, you know, just know I was the same way. And so what really worked for me is I started to notice the way I spoke to my dog. Mm-hmm. And the way when I talk to my dog, boy, my voice, you know, it lightens up. I get a little goofy, you know, I'm kind of silly, and I am so patient and so kind to my little dog. And, you know, what a beautiful thing. And we talk that way to young children as well. And then you start to look at the way you speak to yourself, and boy, oh boy, is that different. Well, if we could start to talk to ourselves the way we speak to our pets, even if it feels silly at first, it softens these hard edges, and it creates the room and the space for us to tap into incredible presence and power.
I love that. I'm gonna immediately start scratching my own head now when I'm feeling down. I'm gonna scratch my head. Good boy. That's a great point. You know, as you're saying that, I'm sitting here thinking. I'm going, you know, my dogs, who right now are in a different room so that we don't hear them. But, you know, I every night before we go to bed, I sit down and I scratch their head and I scratch their back and I say really nice, kind things about how they were, you know, a good boy and a good girl today and stuff. And mm-hmm. I just, so that before they go to sleep, that's the last thing that they hear. Not that I believe that they understand exactly the words, but they hear the tone of what it is that I'm doing. And so as you're telling me this, I'm thinking, I got to quit with the tone that I do for myself when I'm, you know, when I'm stressed and I'm trying to get a bunch of things done and, you know, or I do something, you know, I'm like, oh, that was stupid, you know, but I'm harsh. So yeah, I get it. You know, it's a great visual to tie it into rather than saying, oh, just be kinder to yourself. It's like, yeah. think about how you talk to your dog. I love it.
Yeah. And you know, you're so right about that, Alan. It can't just be self-talk. It's got to be visceral. Like, we really have to feel this. And, you know, the Dalai Lama and all of the meditation sages out there, they say, you know, you could sit down and meditate till the cows come home. But unless you're blanketing it all with a sense of loving kindness towards yourself, you're never really going to be able to make a big difference in the world. The huge changes come when we can turn it inward and create that universe within that is of love and of light. And then from there, we shine it out and it shines out high voltage beams. You know, we start shifting everything in our lives, but it has to start with the caressing and the nurturing of the light within.
I like that. We have an email question that was sent in to us. And again, I thank those that take the time to do it. I know that we're in the middle of the day and you can't always listen live. So I appreciate the fact that you take the time to give us the question so that when you listen later on this evening, you'll hear your answer. This question is, my 16-year-old daughter has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which is further complicated by the typical raging teen hormones. Counseling, meds, and self-help programs have been little more than band-aids on the problem. I desperately need to find solutions for my daughter before something drastic happens. Would you feel your book or books could provide guidance in this type of situation? And can you suggest an approach that will entice her to be open to reading a book?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And by the way, and this comes to us from Jasmine R. So thank you, Jasmine.
Thank you, Jasmine, as well. And I honor what you're going through as a parent, and that you're reaching out and looking for solutions, say perhaps outside of what she's hearing from you know, everyday life. So I honor you for that. And while I am not, you know, in any way a therapist that could give prescriptions for protocol and practices, I can say and that there is no doubt in my mind and in many people that I work with that initial practice of loving kindness, that of being kind to ourselves. And if your daughter can find that maybe as a gateway into the other practices that will help her to settle her nervous system, steady her mind, because oftentimes those mental practices are just so overwhelming for people, mm-hmm. that to start with moving bodies, we can all do that. Just noticing how good we feel about ourselves when we move, even if it's a walk is great exercise, by the way. Doesn't always have to be, you know, the kick butt yoga class, but simple movement and kindness, turning it towards ourselves with that loving kindness practice. So what I would say to you, Jasmine, is that very interestingly, my book On the Verge has been really well received amongst young adults. It could be because I have a 22 and a 21-year-old, both women, young women. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, I'm always speaking and teaching with them in mind. So that could be a possibility, and I would be so honored if she would, you know, to connect with my words. There is on my app, I have an app that is a free app that supports the practices in my book. And there is a loving kindness practice on there as well. So that may be a great place for her to start, is with that loving kindness practice every day. Even if it doesn't always fit right, but just to start to get that into her blood, you know, that sense of being kind and patient to oneself.
Yeah. And I think by approaching it that way, it's a great way to get them to actually open a book. So,
yes. Now,
and we have another listener question, or this one's more of a comment. This one says, I purchased your book on Kindle a couple of weeks ago, and I just love it. As a high school track and basketball coach, at the beginning of each year, I always find myself searching for new ways to inspire our male and female students to be better athletes, academics, and all-around human beings. I am going to propose that our entire coaching staff place your book at the top of their suggested reading list. Thank you so much for the great inspiration. And that's from Joelle M.
Yeah. Wonderful, Joelle. You just made my day. Thank you. Thank you very much. I do teach a lot of athletes, college level, Division I athletes. And yes, this mental strength training, along with all of the understanding that you all already enough in there. It's a matter of accessing potential as opposed to trying to be someone better. It's about letting go of the doubt and the fear, or moving straight through it and accessing what's already waiting for you, that potential to shine. Thank you so much.
Well, and Kara, thank you. I mean, we are about out of time, but thank you so much for coming on the air. Thank you for sharing. And I really want to take this time to acknowledge you and really let people realize how much that I appreciate what it is that you've done for all of us. And to me, that's one of the greatest things that anybody can do, is they take something that they feel is working, that they feel is helping people, and you've done that, and you've done things that are making people happier, healthier, and more successful. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And please stay in touch. If you have any meetings, if you have any seminars, especially if they're out here on the West Coast, let me know. I would love for us to meet in person. And when you have your next book or you're ready to come on the show again, just let us know.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. Thank you for the acknowledgement. That means so much. And thank you all for listening.
All right. And for everybody else out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar and tune in next Monday, August 8th, when our guest, Ted Collins, will discuss his online MOBER app, which will be providing connection and support for people pursuing recovery. And if you missed a show or you want to share a show with your friends, please visit our archives of past shows at answersforthefamily.com. You can also subscribe or resubmit your name to download a free copy of the Attitude of Gratitude Journal, your 21-day guide to achieving the quality and thankfulness through self-discovery. And I also want to add, again, I mentioned earlier, if you go to Kara's website, karabradley.net, there are lots of great bonuses that you can get. You can get her five easy strategies to seize the day every day. She also has an app that you can join so that you can have that at your fingertips. So for everybody out there, thank you for listening, and be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.